turn into shake off this web as I sing out your a victory dance. I will dance out and I will crush disappointment and break every now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your
victory
name. But because of scheduling issues with the school, we had to move it up. So next Sunday, come back following the service. You are going to be invited to a dinner, and it is delicious every Sunday. We have prizes, and we play some games, and we just have some fellowship and get to know each other a little bit better. So definitely look forward to that every month. And then on the 19th and the 27th, we will be showing episodes of The Chosen here at church, so you can just show up. That's on a Friday night, and then the following week it's on a Saturday. So if you're like, well, I can't make it on Fridays, good. You can make it on the following Saturday then. That works out really good. And then on the 21st, we have the Kingdom Connectors. That's following service. So if you would like to get into the Word a little bit more on a one-on-one basis, you are more than welcome. And in fact, we invite you to stay. And then also there will be a little bit of food, but a lot of spiritual food. So that is an awesome thing to get involved with. And then on the 21st, we have IBC Praise. You do not want to miss it. I promise you, you do not want to miss it. We will not have Sunday school that day, but it will start at 11. Bring a friend and come early because this place will be packed. And these young people, they don't come to entertain you. They come to praise and worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people have their first responders? Amen, the first responder. Their stickers. Now I'm going to tell you what this is all about. When you are wearing your first responder sticker, you're saying, I am going to be the first one to respond to the presence of the Lord today. I'm not going to wait on my neighbor. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm not going to wait on you. I'm going to begin to praise the Lord for myself. You might be here today like blind Bartimaeus, knowing that you have a need from God. And like blind Bartimaeus, he began to call out to Jesus. After people told him to be quiet, they're saying, be quiet, he don't want to hear from you. And the Bible says he cried out all the more. If he would have shut up, he wouldn't have got his victory. He wouldn't have left seeing. He would have left the same way that he came. So sometimes when you reach out to Jesus, you just have to keep reaching and reach out a little bit more. He didn't really care what anybody thought. And that's when you get your blessing, when you don't care about anyone else around you or what's going on. When you want Jesus and you go after him and nothing else matters, that's when you get your blessing. Or you could be like Paul and Silas. In the middle of your darkest hour, in the middle of your darkest night, and the Bible says they begin to sing praises unto the Lord. That's a first responder. Before I do anything else, before I worry, before I fret, I'm going to begin to praise. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to give it to Jesus. I'm going to let him take care of it. God, you got this problem I don't know what to do with, so I'm giving it to you, Jesus. I'm going to let you take care of the problem, because when we put ourselves in the mix, we mess it all up. But when we give it to Jesus, he shows up and he will take care of it. And he took care of their problem, because when they began to sing and worship at midnight, the Bible says that their chains were broken and all the doors flew open. You need some doors to fly open in your life today. Begin to worship Jesus. He will open up those doors. And then not only that, when they began to worship, not only were their chains broken, but all the prisoners all of their chains were off. So you know what? You'd be like, I'm good today. I had a great week. I don't have anything good. But you know what? Begin to praise and worship for your neighbor. Praise for that one that has those chains that can't raise their hands. You raise your hands for them so their chains can be broken. You praise for them so they can receive their blessing. We're going to sing this song, and you are deputized as a first responder. Don't wait for your neighbor. You go after Jesus for yourself.
'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true.
alive to somebody, tell them you're glad to see them today, a turning point. We're so thankful to see each and every one of you. You could be anywhere else, but you're here, and we thank you for joining us today in the presence of the Lord. Didn't this worship team do a great job? How about these first responders? They did a great job. Would you give yourself a hand? Praise God, praise God. I got a few things to do, and that is, Natasha, I know you're here. Where's Natasha? She was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we celebrate that day. Praise God. Praise God. Let's all clap our hands to the Lord Jesus. It's nobody like Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Again, it's so good to see each and every one of you. It's not even Easter time, and look how full it is here today. Amen. Amen. That's a good problem, but it is a problem, as you can tell. And so we've got some further plans that we'll have to talk about here in the very near future. I think we've got about 176 chairs that are out right now, and you can see there's not many empty, and we have some that are unable to be here, so it's going to be a full house regardless. And aren't you thankful for what God is doing? The dreaded disease of leprosy. Here's what they state that this disease is. It is known as Hansen's disease. It begins as a bacteria and then continues within the body. The body acts as an incubator, and studies have shown that those to whom are infected with this dreaded disease are many times without symptoms and typically remain this way for 5, even upwards to 20 years. Symptoms that develop include the issues with the nerves and the respiratory tract and skin and the eyes. This may be a result, they state, in a lack of ability to feel pain. Thus, the loss of extremities due to the repeated injuries or infection due to unnoticed wounds. Weakness and poor eyesight might even be present. Leprosy is spread between people, and this is thought to occur through a cough or contact with fluid from the nose of an infected person. I hope everybody's got a clean nose today. Leprosy starts by damaging the small nerves and the skin surface, resulting in a loss of sensation. Without the gift of pain, everyday activities are filled with danger. Unnoticed burns and ulcers can lead to permanent disability. Due to the inability to detect even grit in the eye, blindness is a common consequence of leprosy. Here's what happens when one is told they have leprosy. Leprosy starts by damaging the small nerves in the skin surface. The first outward sign is usually discolored patches where there is no feeling. If treated at this early stage, damage or disability is unlikely. But there is a disability that comes with it. If left untreated, leprosy goes on to damage the large nerves in the elbows, in the wrist, in the knees, and the ankle. The resulting damage can lead to the loss of sensation in the hands and the feet and the muscle paralysis, which causes clawed fingers and a foot drop. Loss of sensation in the hands and feet means everyday activities are filled with dangers because burns will go unrecognized and stones in the shoe will go unnoticed, leading to ulcers on your feet. This can be difficult to heal because once infected, often they lead to the shortening of fingers and toes or ultimately amputation of limbs. there is, leprosy produces blindness. Everybody say blindness. Leprosy can damage the nerves in the face, causing the eyelid muscles to stop working. The eyes are no longer protected by the blinking mechanism and can be easily damaged, which eventually leads to blindness. Leprosy can damage the bones of the nose, causing it to collapse and flatten, a common facial trait witnessed in people affected by leprosy. Again, my hope is, or my attempt today, is to make your ears to become eyes and paint a word picture of the seriousness of this dreadful disease called leprosy. If you had it then, it was certain separation from anyone and everyone that you would know. For many centuries, leprosy was considered a curse of God, often associated with sin. It lingered for years, causing the tissue to degenerate and deforming the body. Its symptoms start in the skin and peripheral nervous system, which is outside the brain and the spinal cord. They spread to other parts, such as the hands, the feet, and even the earlobes. Again, let me reemphasize, patients with leprosy experience disfigurement of the skin and the bones, twisting of the limbs and curling of the fingers to form a claw-like hand. Facial changes begin to include thickening of the outer ear and collapsing of the nose. Tumor-like growths called lepromas may form on the skin and even into your respiratory tract, and the optic nerve may begin to deteriorate. The largest number of deformities develop from the loss of pain sensation due to excessive nerve damage. For example, an unattentive patient can pick up a cup of boiling hot water without even flinching. When a leper cannot sense touch or pain, they tend to injure themselves or be unaware of injury caused by an outside agent. According to the law that was given to Moses, a leper wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of any other human, including his own family. Matter of fact, let's look at the law regarding this very thing. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45 reads, "Those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and shout, 'Unclean, unclean, unclean.'" I was reading this law even this morning and realized that according to the law that was given to Moses, I would have been quarantined away from my family and friends when I had shingles. Anybody ever have shingles in your life? I'm not talking what's on your roof, but on the body. It's not very pleasant, is it? Those that have had shingles knows exactly what I'm talking about. But the whole purpose of the rules of the law were to protect others from an outbreak, as well as to provide the quarantine time to heal. I need to say that again. The purpose of the law was to protect from an outbreak, as well as provide the quarantine time to heal. You see, leprosy was contagious, and to have it without a healing, it was death by pieces. Historians state, the disease was considered so revolting that the leper wasn't even permitted to come within 150 feet of anyone when the wind was blowing. So if the wind's blowing, you wouldn't be allowed to be within 150 feet of somebody. Lepers lived in a community with other lepers until they got better or they died. This was the only way that people knew to contain the spread of the contagious forms of leprosy. Again, the disease of leprosy was likened to sin because of how it works. Leprosy was not sin because just as leprosy would separate you from others, sin works in the same fashion. Can somebody say amen? It's a daily dying, little by little. And if sin is ever given a space and time to grow, it affects and it could infect the family and those who surround themselves with it. Sin must be dealt with. Would you clap your hands and say amen? No number of the thoughts of it's only one look, it's not that bad, no one is even around. You see, you give sin an inch and Satan will always take a mile. I'm telling us today that sin is likened unto leprosy. Leprosy like sin. It's not necessarily a sin, it's simply just like it. It causes you to be affected and yet infected. It causes you to be separated from those that love you, and sin does just that. You see, you and I will never tame sin. The only way to deal with sin is to get it out, and that comes through repentance. That comes through saying, God, I'm tired of living the way I once lived. I want a new life. I want a new beginning. The only way to deal with sin is to run from it and not give it the time or the day. The only way to deal with sin is to let God rule and reign your life. You and I, no matter how strong we might think we are, we can never, ever tame sin. James chapter 1:15 reads, "And sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death." It brings a separation between man and God. It brings separation between families and loved ones. Sin, it separates you and I from all that is holy in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. Sin still destroys. Sin still decimates. Sin still ensnares, and sin still enslaves. But I need to jump ahead a little bit and give us all a little bit of hope. Can somebody say amen? That there's not a one of us who are exempt from missing the mark, missing the target, or falling short. That's called sin. There's not a one of us who have not been people of sin. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. For Romans chapter 3 and 23 declares, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Look at somebody, point at him and say, "I knew that's why you were so messed up." Turn around, look at somebody, just say, "You're a sinner." Oh, some didn't want to do that. But we got to understand that Romans chapter 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But then chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God." I'm so thankful for the gift from God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the gift called grace. We may not deserve it, but God steps in and says, "I'm rescuing you out of sin." Somebody shout hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the gift of grace that God has given to us? And just like that, the law given to Moses regarding the details of how to deal with a leper and the cleansing process. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 8 reads, "And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that he may come into the camp, but live outside of the tent for 7 days. And on the seventh day he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard and his eyebrows." That looks a little freaky, doesn't it? "He shall shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean." Brother, Sister Williams is looking at her husband saying, "You sure you don't have leprosy?" "It's okay. It's okay. You're okay. Just stay within 6 feet of him." "No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. The wind's blowing. It's 150 feet. But they were made ceremonially clean by way of the water and the removal of all things that identified them, that person, with the disease. Okay? According to this scripture, they were made clean by way of the water and the removal of all things that identified that person with the dreadful disease of leprosy. You see, the law gave us a peek into a New Testament dispensation called grace in which we live in today. And the washing by water and the removal of all identification of the life of a leper is simply called repentance and baptism. You see, in the Old Testament, he said, if you're a leper, you need to get rid of everything that identified you as a leper, as well as go by way of the water. That looks a whole lot like repentance and baptism. You see, if you want to be clean, if you want to be new, you got to get rid of what identifies you as what you once were and turn to Jesus and be water baptized in His. Would you stand to your feet? Aren't you thankful today for that gift called salvation? I'm so thankful for that gift called salvation. Somebody shout hallelujah. Give a high five to somebody and say, I'm thankful for salvation. Matter of fact, the only way that we will ever see the Lord's kingdom in our lives and heaven as our home is we must obey the scriptures. The forerunner of Jesus called the Christ, John the Baptizer, said it like this in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If we want God's kingdom to come, we've got to obey the mandates of the King. We got to turn away from sin and turn to God. Oh, leprosy. It was a dreadful disease. It would steal life away away from the infected one, and truly it really does affect others. Sin is never linked to one person, but those choices, those bad decisions, it seems to trickle down and affect the family. I'm thankful that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. I'm thankful for salvation and that there is a way out of this world. Scripture isn't necessarily totally clear as to how this one happened or how this particular person was even infected. The details are slightly obscured from our eyes, yet we know by way of study it wasn't to be trifled with. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1 reads, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given him victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Everybody say, he was a leper. Verse 2, now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, she said to her boss, watch this, would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. Now we're unsure just how infected this man named Naaman was. It must have been obvious enough for him to need a healing, okay? Some said it may have only been psoriasis on the skin or an outbreak of sorts, but whatever it was, it separated him. He was identified as a leper. Naaman, though, he was a powerful man. He was revered and he was feared. Naaman would give orders and expect them to be followed out by the proverbial T. And Naaman shows up at the prophet Elisha's house by way of a testimony of a young slave girl. Can I tell us today, we ought to be thankful that somebody told us about the man called Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful someone told you about a relationship with Jesus, that he can make everything right? He can change your way. He can deal with the sin. Come on, let's clap our hands one more time. Now, I just got a few points to work through. I won't tell you how many because you'll start counting, but it's a few times 10. No, I'm teasing. I want to state the obvious, and that's simply this. Leprosy represents sin, and in Scripture, and the only way to deal with sin is to get rid of it. Sin separates you and I, but it needs to be washed away by the name of Jesus called the Christ. Here's another point I want to bring to our attention through this text of 2 Kings chapter 5. And that's simply this. Naaman wasn't bound by the law due to being a Syrian. He still had to subject himself to the word of God and the life-giving words of Elisha. He was not Hebrew by birth, yet at the same time, he had to subject himself to the God of Israel and to the life-giving words of Elisha the prophet. 2 Kings chapter 5 states, Naaman came with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this place of leprosy, and I would be cured of the leprosy. Verse 12, are not Abana and Far the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Was Naaman used to people doing what he said and waiting on him? You better believe it. But if he wanted a touch from God, obedience was the only answer. Come on, somebody. If we want a touch from God, obedience is the only answer. You see, his healing depended on his obedience. His miracle depended upon his action. His touch depended upon his humility. His restoration depended on whether or not he chose to listen and to do. Hear me clearly today. If we want to be right, we've got to be willing to admit we're wrong and get ourselves into the place that preaches the life-giving words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are living in a time where right is wrong and wrong is now right. Somebody say amen. Amen. Paul warned Timothy of these days. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. For the time is coming and when people will not endure sound doctrine, but have itching ears, that they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Another translation reads like this. You're going to find that there will be a time when people have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions, tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase after mirages. Sounds like today, doesn't it? And I understand this may not be according to our standards of this world politically correct or even popular, but we need the preached word of God doused in love yet not watered down. I'm going to say that again. We need the preached word of God doused in a whole lot of love but not watered down. I need the word of God. I need a mandate from God. If God said it, it's got to settle it for me. Clap your hands and say, I need the word. I need the word. You see, if Naaman wanted to be healed, he had to subject himself to the mandates of God and whatever Elisha the prophet had to say. Amen. Naaman was told, go down to the Jordan River, get off your horse and dip 7 times, and you'll receive your healing. He's a little honked off. How many's ever been a little honked off? Mad. That's a southern thing, sorry. How many's been a little upset? What other ways? Come on, be honest. You lie, you fry. You've been in the house of God. I mean, he knows the land. He's conquered all around there. He understands and knows that there's easier waterways to access by horse. He knows there's waterways to get to and certainly much cleaner ones. Scripture even says it, that he at least has his own opinion. He's mad, though. He's about to tell his military that's under his command to torch the house. But then he remembered the sweet little Hebrew girl who told him the good news. And he remembered the words from his wife, Naaman, you have nothing to lose. I'm going to tell us all today, you have nothing to lose when you give in to the word of God. Or maybe she said it like this. Why not try the Lord for goodness sake? You'd be happy as a dog with a T-bone steak. Yeah, that's Carmen for you, those that love Carmen. But I'm not here to offend us. I'm simply here today to tell each and every one of us that if you need anything from God, we have to do it His way. We have to do it God's way. John chapter 3, 1 reads, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's the words of Jesus. If we want to enter His house, we got to be born right. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 8 reads, Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And David wasn't referring to the Lord as a lollipop or a T-bone steak. He wasn't at all referring to our Lord as your favorite pizza. I'm getting hungry up here. He's not at all referring to those things or the meal that might be consumed by you while you're waiting, saying, can he hurry up and get through those few points? But the word taste means to perceive. So David, the writer, he's saying, oh, wouldn't you perceive that the Lord, he is good? Oh, perceive. You see, to perceive something means to become aware or conscious of something, come to realize or to understand. Perception is simply this, the ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through our senses. The state of being or process of becoming aware of something through our senses. You ever perceive that food smells good by way of your nose? You're like, that's making my stomach growl because I smell it. I perceive there's a baker in the house. I need to maybe do that. It sounds a little more spiritual when I walk into the house and I say, oh, I perceive there is cookies in the making. Heavenly, heavenly cookies being in the making. Perception is more than a passive perceptive nerves that carry information, but rather it's an active process. Here's an example, touch. Everybody say touch. It's a sensory perceptive nerve, but it's also an action requiring movement. David was suggesting that in order to truly experience the Lord, it would be through active movement towards Him. He's saying, oh, taste and see, experience God through active movement. The reason why we raise our hands is because we want to get God's attention. The reason why we clap our hands is because it's like chains falling off. I'm telling us, taste and see that God is so, so good. And here's Naaman now in the driveway of the prophet Elisha. I mean, he's wealthy by way of, he's the right-hand person of the king of Syria. I mean, he's got spinner rims on his chariots. He's got a good sound system. I don't know what that included, but maybe it just was people in the back there making their noises. You know, the maybe I said, no, I'm not, I wasn't good at beatboxing. You got about the best out of me right there. I mean, he's got his own band playing for him, whatever you like. He's the man who normally gives the orders. He's not used to this. He's a leper, and he knows at some point this disease is always associated with death. Here he is vacillating between what he wants and what he needs. This translation might paint a word picture for us, and it's 2 Kings 5:11. Naaman lost his temper. That's what the Bible says. When it says that he was angry, he lost his temper. He spun around saying, I thought he'd personally come out and meet me, call on the name of God, wave his hand over the disease spot and get rid of the disease. The Damascus rivers, Abana and Pharpar, are cleaner by far than any of the rivers in Israel. Why not bathe in them? I'd at least get clean. And he stomped off mad as a hornet. Anybody ever see people like that? I mean, they're kicking everything that's around them, punching holes in the wall. Nobody wants to admit that. They know somebody like that. Might be me, myself, and I. No, I don't punch walls and kick things. I think about it, but I don't. No. When you're driving down the road, you're like, God bless you, you. You need Jesus. So he's mad. He's upset. He's as mad as a hornet. Yet there he is. He's just remembering that his family back home just wants to see him well. Can I take a preacher pause and say this? I know that this isn't a perfect place, and I know that friend or family member may wear you out with their testimony, but if you only knew what God could do for you, you'd be doing whatever it takes. If you only knew how good God was. That's why I keep coming. That's why I keep knocking. That's why I keep calling. If only you knew how good God was, you'd understand that we only want you healed. We only want you well. We only want you made new. Somebody shout hallelujah. You see, this is an Old Testament story for us, but it's kind of giving us this peek into the New Testament plan called salvation. It's the good news. Watch this. You've got to deal with sin, and yes, it will separate you from God. And you've got to do what the Word says to do. So here he is. He's pacing back and forth, attempting to negotiate his way into a compromise. And then one of his trusted servants walks up to him and he says, 2 Kings 5:13. But his servant caught up with him and said, Father, if the prophet had asked you to do something hard and heroic, wouldn't you have done it? So why not this simple wash and be clean? Let me translate that to us today. This is what the servant was saying. Sir, don't you know your nose is falling off? Your hand is looking pretty gnarly. It's not that difficult. Just do what he says. Huh? You ever look up somebody and say, well, you don't look very good today? When they're sick. I mean, anybody been sick and you just look like death in your eyes? You can't breathe. And you know, and you're like, oh, you don't look like you feel very good today. And then you're really in trouble when they say, no, this is how I always am. Run. 2 Kings 5:14 says, so he went down. Now he's talked into it. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He immersed himself 7 times in the water, and he came out brand new. In the Bible, 7 means completeness. It means wholeness. It's the number of our Lord, because when God gets involved, he completes the project. He completes us and makes us new. Somebody shout hallelujah. So let me give us some hope. We're going to do a baptism today. And I'm going to let you know for a fact that we will not immerse someone 7 times. Someone say amen. No waterboarding, none of that kind of stuff's happening here. We'll simply immerse you in one time in the water, invoke over you the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. And when they come up out of the water, with Jesus making you complete, just like Naaman came out looking like he had the skin of a newborn baby. You see, when people are born of water and of the Spirit, guess what happens? They're born again. They're not like they used to be. They don't look like they used to. They don't go where they used to go. They've been changed by the power of God. Somebody clap your hands and say amen. But you see, Naaman's miracle and completeness, his wholeness, depended on his obedience. Obedience is always a big deal when it comes to our spiritual wholeness. Amen. It really is. Obedience is so important when it comes to our spiritual wholeness. And lastly, look at what Naaman does. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. Naaman said, because he's asking, can I give you some gifts? Let me give you some gifts. And the prophet said, no, we don't need your gift. So Naaman said this, well, if I can't give you a gift, can I at least get something? Says this, if not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mule loads of earth. For from now on, your servant will not offer burnt offerings or sacrifice to any other god than the Lord. In this manner, matter may the Lord pardon your servant. Verse 18, when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself down in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. And Elisha said to him, go in peace. Get this. He's asking if he could get a load of dirt from his house. Isn't that something? He's saying, I've got a team of mules and a cart. Can we load the cart with some Hebrew dirt? Everybody say, I want some Hebrew dirt. That's the way he was. He's from Syria, and he's saying, you know what? Since you won't take anything, can I get something? We already know he's made whole by way of obedience. He's made whole because he went and got in the water. He's made whole because he dealt with the sin issue, and now he's new. But then he says this, could I get a little bit of your dirt around here? I mean, wouldn't that be nice if someone walked in and said, I don't need anything. Well, yes, I do. Could I have some of your dust bunnies? Wouldn't that be great? You don't mind if I clean out your vacuum cleaner and just kind of put it in a bag and take it home with me? That'd be scary, wouldn't it? My wife was doing some spot cleaning of the carpet here at the church, and she started showing me the water, and it looked like the Maumee River and nothing, and just like the Maumee River. Man, but we have to understand why he asked to get a load of dirt. Here's why. He's saying, I've got to go back to Syria, and there's times my king asked me to go to the house of Rimmon. Now, we have to understand something. He's had an experience that was undeniable. The miracle was visible, it was tangible, and he knew it was God Almighty that had done the work. No other God, but there is but one Almighty God. Rimmon was a Syrian deity that represented storm, rain, and thunder. It was their representation of Baal. He knew this encounter was real and that it was the true God of Israel that has true power over storms, rain, and thunder. It is God who moved upon the face of the deep. He understood that it was the one true living God. So here he is. He knew his encounter was real. There was no denying what he experienced. And so then he says, could I have some dirt from around your house? Elisha didn't even post it. He didn't even advertise it. Fill dirt for free, you know. Where you're driving by and you're like, oh, they want dirt. Okay. Then you empty your car mats out and see if that will start. Somebody say amen. But he asked for a cart full of dirt that his two mules could carry together. 2 Kings chapter 5 and 17 reads, "Please let there be given to your servant two mules burden of earth, for from now on your servant will not offer burnt offerings or sacrifice to any god but the Lord." Could you imagine? You just got done eating at someone's house and you asked, "Hey, before I leave, you wouldn't mind if I go dig out in your garden and get a few coffee cups full of your dirt?" What a strange thing to ask, wouldn't it be? If I walked up over to your house, we just got done, you know, fellowship, and then before I leave, you wouldn't mind if I go out back and dig around, you know, your garden there, and I don't want the plants, I don't want seeds, I just want the dirt. Wouldn't that be weird? You'd think there's a problem. I mean, here he is. He's like, "You don't mind if I grab a couple shovelfuls of dirt from your lawn for the ride home? I just like the smell of dirt." Some people like to eat dirt, I heard. I mean, was he planting a new garden in the Syrian dirt's pH level wasn't up to par? I mean, what's going on here? Why did he want dirt? Why after such an experience would he ask for a cart full of dirt? Everybody go, "Why dirt?" No, you got to act like you're trying out for a play. Why dirt? Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful. You guys are awesome. Why dirt? Well, one commentary reads like this. In the ancient world, it was a common belief that all gods had a sort of limited geographical range in which they could operate. The more you strayed into the territories of rival gods, the less powerful your deity of the choice would become. Just like with the real estate, the number one rule in pagan worship was location, location, location. End of quote. If we could all stand, musicians come. I made it a little difficult on you, Chloe. Sorry. How do you go and have an altar song about dirt, two mules in a cart full of dirt? You see, in ancient times, biblical times, they believed that their gods had boundaries that bound them to their land. And Naaman wanted to make sure that he had gotten what he received. He was going to take it home with him. Can I submit to your consideration today that our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has no rival, he has no equal, and his power recognizes no boundaries? That if someone needs a touch from God that's outside of Fulton County, Henry County, the power of God can touch no matter what. See, Naaman wasn't content in just receiving a one-in-time moment of the demonstration of the power of God, but he wanted to take God's power with him wherever he went. He said, "If I'm going home, the power of God's coming home with me. If I want to see my family saved, guess what? The power of God's coming home with me. I'm going to let them know I went into the water. The water may have been cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. I'm telling you today, if you take what you've got, take it home and let God show he has no boundaries whatsoever." And there's so many different ways we can end this message here today. Number one, we need to deal with the spiritual sin issue that separates us from all that is holy. How do we do it? We got to say, "I'm sorry, Lord. I'm tired of living this way. I've done it my way for so long, and I've made a mess. God, I'm coming to you." Is there anybody willing to do that today? We all can do it. Watch this. It takes obedience to get a touch from God. If he said, "Come up here and raise your hand 10 times just to prove that you want me," how many would be raising their hand 10 times? I'm not saying you have to do that. If he told you to come up here, stand on one foot, need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and spell Bob backwards. I believe every last one of us would be coming in here being like Bob, Bob, B-O-B, B-O-B. We'd be like, we're getting a miracle today. You see, obedience. Obedience. If you want a touch from God, according to what Naaman did, he simply had to obey. If we want a touch from God, we got to obey. We got to obey. Watch this. Here's another way we could walk away with this message, that our God has no boundaries. His power knows no limits. He said, if you don't mind, let me carry two loads. Just give me a cart full of dirt for my two mules that are yoked up together, that we can take Holy Land dirt. Land dirt from your house, from your backyard. Let me take it home with me. He said, let me take my experience home with me. You want to see your family saved? You want a healing? Take your experience home with you. Don't leave it here. Take it with you. Take it with you. Take the power of God with you. Are you willing to take the power of God with you? Would you grab the hand of the person next to you if it's appropriate? Would you step out from where you are and say, I'm going to do whatever it takes? Come on, it's all right. We won't bite you. Just look at that person and say, we're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to take the experience home with us. We're going to take this experience home with us. See, in Naaman's times, they were under the impression that wherever they walked into another territory, that territory, their God that they worship would become of lesser power. So he says, you know what? I want to make sure that I'm always serving the one true living God. Can I have a little bit of your dirt? Can I get a bucket load of dirt? Because I want to take what I experienced and take it home with me. I want, matter of fact, I'm going to take it into the house of Rimmon. I'm going to worship the one true living God, because God's power knows no boundaries. It knows no limits. Would we lift our hands right now and begin to worship the Lord? Take this experience home with you right now. Lift your voice right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you need to repent, that's good. We're in a safe place. God, I'm tired of the way I've been living.
I am free. I am free.
If you need to go by way of the water, we've got it. You can be baptized in the only saving name.
I am free. I am free.
Come on, begin to lift your hands.
Get up, get up, get up.
Jesus.